Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Shira Shirim, Parakei, Chapter 5. This is actually one of my favorite prakim, really, in all of Tanakh, and I want to tell you why. First, I want to give you an overview of what's happening here. So in the last chapter that we studied, in Parak Dalid, the Dod took a very active role in pursuing the Raya. He told her how much he longed for her, he described her, and in a moment of frustration also called her a gan na'ul, like a locked garden. But then she responded to him and told him where to find her. And in Perek He, Pasuk Aleph, he speaks and he says, Bati legani achoti kala, I came to my garden, my beloved, my bride. Ariti moriim bisami, achalti ya'ariim dvashi, shatiti yeni im chalavi. So I picked the spices, I ate the honey, I drank the wine, the milk. Again, all metaphors, but he's describing the pleasure of having found his raya. After this, we have from psukim bet through chet, which is 2 through 8, we have the Raya describing to the Benot Yerushalayim. We've met them in past Prakim. She's describing to this group of women, young women, that are her friends, presumably, or not such great friends always, but she's describing to them about how she has lost the Dod, which is a surprise. Things just seem to be working out well. Now she's lost him. And she closes this by saying in Pasuk Chet, this part, and she says, "Hishbati etchem benot Yerushalayim, im timtzu et odi, ma tagidu lo shecholat ahavani." Okay, so swear to me, benot Yerushalayim. And again, this is language that she's used earlier when she said to them, "Swear to me that you won't wake up the love until it's really matured." Now she's saying, "Swear to me, if you find my beloved, my dod, tell him that I am cholat ahava. I'm like sick with love." Now, they respond to her in Pasuk Tet, and they say, Mado deich midod, hayafe benashim. Mado deich midod, shakacha hishbatanu. Right? What is so special? What is so beloved or so unique about your dod? What is so, like, that you've made us swear this? Like, tell us why he's so unusual. What makes him so special that you're so lovesick over him and that you continue to pursue him? So she responds, and she describes him, and this is from Psukim Yud, verse 10 through Tet Zion. And the end of Tet Zion, which is the last Pasuk of the Perek, after describing him, and she builds on descriptions that he used and descriptions that she used earlier. So actually, it's a fun, if you're really doing this, like, you know, Pasuk, like, in depth, you can compare these descriptions that she has of him to the descriptions he had of her in the prior Perek. But she ends by saying, Zedodi, Zerei, Benot Yerushalayim. This is my beloved, this is my darling, Benot Yerushalayim. This is who he is, and this is why I care so much about him. Now, I want to focus on the beginning of the parak, the part where she describes how she lost the dod. And I think that this is just a key to understanding, I think, this idea of, like, missing a moment, even a moment that you've been waiting for. And I'd like to read through these psukim. So I'm going to start reading and, you know, kind of put yourself, I guess, as much as you can into the situation. So remember, it's the Raya, and she's speaking to the Benot Yerushalayim. And she says to them, Ani yeshena v'libi er. I'm asleep, but my heart is awake. And I can definitely relate to this description where you're kind of like, I'm sleeping, but I'm also still awake. Something's happening. And then she says, Kol dodi dofek. I hear the voice of my beloved, my dod, knocking. And he says to me, Pitchuli achoti, rayati, yonati, I lost my place for a minute. Here we go. Pitchuli achoti, rayati, yonati, tamuti, shiroshi, nimlatal, kfutotai, resise laila. So he says to her, you please open up the door for me, my beloved. And he describes her and he says, but it's raining outside. My hair is full of the rain, my hair is curling almost because it's like so damp. and she's lying in bed and she's hearing him. And this definitely, by the way, is likely she's describing a dream. I'll leave that up to you. But she responds to him and she says, oh, or she's probably really responding to us, telling us the story. Pashatati et kutanti. I already took off my robe. Echacha albashena. How should I get dressed again? Rachatsti et raglai. Echacha et nafe. My feet are already all clean. If I get out of bed, if I open the door, I'm going to get dirty. So I'm just already all comfy. How can I get up and do this? And then in Pasuk Dalid, Dodi shalach yado min hachor. So the Dod, my beloved, put his hand, trying to get in, into the hole in the door. Umei hamu alav. And all of a sudden, my heart was moving for him. I viscerally felt I need to be there for him. So what happened in Pasuk Hey? Kamti ani liftoach ledodi. I got up to look for, to open the door for my Dod. V'yadai natfu mor, v'etzbotai mor over al kapota minu'al. My hands were dropping with this myrrh, this incense, and they were all on the handle of the bar as I opened it. And then pasuk vav, patachti ani l'dodi, v'dodi chamak avar. I opened for my Dod, and my Dod had left. He was gone. Nafshi yatsa b'dibro. My heart went out. Bikashtihu v'lo matztihu. I looked out for him. I couldn't find him. Karati v'lo anani. And it gets even more poignant in Pasuk Zion. She describes herself running through the streets looking for the Dod. Matzuni hashomrim hasovavim ba'ir. All of the guards, the watchmen, found me. Hikuni pitzuni. They bruised me. They hit me. Nasu et ridi me'alai shomrei chamod. And they took off my redeed, my cover, my mantle, these shomrim, these guard, those who guard the walls. Before I react to this story, I just want to note for those of you who are following Perek by Perek, that this is a variation of the story that we read in Perek Gimel, where she's also, the Raya is in bed, she's dreaming, and she's looking for him. It uses the same words of Bikesh, She'ahava Nafshi, I was looking for the person, I was looking for my beloved. And then in that Perek, though, she couldn't find him, but ultimately she is able to find him. And there are shomrim, people who guard the city, but instead of being threatening and damaging to her, they are neutral. You know, she asks them, but nothing happens. And then as soon as she leaves them, she finds him and she brings him into her parents' house. So it's definitely sort of the negative version of a story that turned out happily in Perek Gimel. And I think part of this is because this story is after reading Perek Dalet and the end of Perek Gimel, where they found each other and their relationship was maturing. It wasn't just an immature relationship. They should have been together, right? She should have, like, there was a real mistake that happened here. When she turned him away in Perek Bet, we understood why. We discussed, you know, there were obstacles, the immaturity of the relationship. But here, she turned him away, and there's really just no excuse for that here. But on the other hand, I will say that when I read the story, it's also one of the most relatable stories to me, even on like just a very surface level, but being in bed and being tired and knowing that there's something like really important that I need to take care of and having a really hard time doing that. So like, as much as it seems like, oh my gosh, how did you let him slip through your fingers, literally, we have a lot of sympathy for her. I think there's a lot of relatedness here in that, like, oh, she's just so tired. But I think even like going deeper, the tiredness is what's holding her back. And there's a relatedness. I mean, I certainly relate to this in terms of here she's in bed and he's knocking at her door. And what's holding her back? You know, meaning the rain and the exhaustion and being ready for bed. It represents something. So, you know, it kind of forces us to ask, or myself to, what's holding me back? Like in my relationships, like why am I not opening the door? And it's always in our like closest relationships where we can ask that question, like, why am I, you know, why don't I take the next step? And it's not not surprising at all that Chazal and the Rishonim then darshan this in the way the interpretive level in terms of our relationship with Hashem. It also resonates. You know, here we are, we're the Raya, we're in bed, Hashem is knocking at the door. Why don't we get up? What is it that's holding us back from getting there? And building on this, I think the Kuzari probably most famously develops this idea and puts it into a specific context in history. And the Kuzari talks about how it's the time period after we were exiled from into Babylonia. We were exiled from Israel, which is like 586 BCE. And then we went to Babylonia, and that exile was only supposed to be 70 years. But then when it was time to go back, we didn't want to. We were settled in Babel. We were settled in Babylonia. It was, you know, it was comfortable there. And how many people actually ended up going back to build Beit Sheni, the second temple? Not so many, and definitely not as many as it should have been. So he relates this specifically to these words of Shir HaShirim, where it says, the voice of my beloved is knocking. He says that was God's call to return. But the people, when the Raya says, but I already took off my robe, that's the people's laziness in actually not going back. And Rav Soloveitchik develops this into an entire book. His book, Kol Dodi Dofeik, The Voice of My Beloved is Knocking, is from this pasuk, this section in Shir HaShirim. And he talks about a lot of things in that sefer, but one of the things that he talks about is he really makes the situation that the Kuzari describes very contemporary. What happened when, you know, we got the state of Israel? In what ways has the diasporic community, the community that's not in Israel, have we been supportive of the state of Israel as an entity, Jews who have gone, you know, who have gone? Have we actually gone back ourselves? And he says, this is just a short excerpt, but he says, 8 years ago, in the midst of the night of the terrors of Majdanek, Treblinka, and Buchenwald, in a night of gas chambers and crematoria, in a night of total divine self-concealment, in a night ruled by the devil of doubt and destruction, who sought to sweep a lover from her own tent into the Catholic church in a night of continuous searching for the beloved, on that very night, the beloved appeared. The Almighty, who was hiding in his splendid sanctum, suddenly appeared and began to beckon at the tent of the lover, who tossed and turned on her bed, beset by convulsions and the agonies of hell. Because of the beating and knocking at the door of the mournful lover, the state of Israel was born. And he talks about the parable being that God was knocking at our door, and that was the birth of the state of Israel. And he discusses actually six knocks, like six different things that happened in the creation of the state of Israel that were miraculous, and those were the knocks. That was Hashem knocking at our door. And then you could get the mussar already, because it's all the same, that what did we do? Are we still lying in bed saying, I took off my robe, or did we take the opportunity? Now, this is dated in a way. You know, a lot has happened with the state of Israel since the Rev wrote this, which I think was in the 50s. But definitely the Musar piece of this still resonates. And I think as a whole, the Raya's, hesitation to get out of bed and to open the door is psychologically understandable, because we like the status quo, you know, changing things and moving things to the next place, digging deeper is hard. We relate to the status quo, you know, we're comfortable with it. In our own lives, we like to know what to expect, right? And certainly we can, thinking about the Kuzari's application of this, which also comes from earlier Perushim, but is that this idea of that, like, when the Jews were happy in Babylonia and, like, you know, Ezra came calling, come back, you know, rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, come back, resettle Israel. Even moving beyond that situation, there was a comfort in, like, what we're doing right now and this demand to get up and change everything, and it's going to be cold and it's rainy and I don't know, and what would that mean, how it disrupts my life, is something that, you know, in all different ways, big ways and little ways, I can relate to. I think we can probably all relate to. And I think what this parak is bringing out is this idea that what Hashem is asking us to do, again, I know we keep doing this, but in our interpersonal relationships as well as in our relationship with Hashem, is Hashem is asking us to disrupt the status quo and to say, kol dodi dofek, right? The voice of my beloved is knocking. And then the question is, are we going to be willing, energetic, and brave enough to open the door? Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rachel Rachel Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.